was division and struggling in some of the Galatian churches, and they were trying to discredit Paul. They had been questioning his authority, his validity, his sincerity, his message, and even his motivation. So Paul responds by basically saying, I am a man of truth and authority. I am a man of truth and authority. What does it mean to be a man or a woman in the family, in the church, in the community, in the culture, a man or woman of truth and authority? Do we understand what that means and how persuasive that can be and how impactful that can be? So I want us to think a little bit about that this morning. In Acts chapter 26, struggling with whether, I think I'll just call your attention to it. We may come back and read it later. But it's Paul there is given an opportunity by King Agrippa. He says, King Agrippa said, okay, you're permitted to speak, Paul. And Paul begins to pour out his story and his conversion and what Christ had done in his life and what he had saved him from and what he had saved him to. And it was just an amazing testimony that Paul gives forth in Acts 26. And I encourage you to go back and read that occasionally because I believe the components that Paul shared are each and every one of our own components, facets about being saved from and saved to, and they're so powerful. A testimony is so very powerful. Then at the end, the very end of this, in verse 28, he says, then Agrippa said to Paul, you know what, Paul? I've listened to your story and your testimony and all of these things, the truth you shared, the authority that you shared it in. And he says, you almost persuaded me to be a Christian. You almost persuaded me to be a Christian. What almost persuaded King Agrippa? Well, I think it was what I mentioned earlier, that Paul was a man of truth and authority. Paul walked and talked truth. And there was a truth that flowed from Paul, that flowed from the heart of God, the life of Christ. And it was confirmed by the Word and the Spirit. And all of these things came together inside Paul and flowed from him. And it gave him great authority to the people that he encountered throughout Galatia, but many, many other places that God took him. So we'll turn back to Galatians 1 in just a moment, but I want you to struggle with this personally for just a couple moments here. If God has called you to be a man or a woman of truth and authority, a persuasive man or woman of truth and authority, what should your life look like? What great opportunity and responsibility you have been given to affect the church, to affect the community, to affect the culture. And I believe that God is calling all men and women, all believers in Christ, to be these persuasive people of truth and authority. So how about you? How do you match up? So as we look at Paul here, there are some things that he's addressing that I think have application in the realm that I'm talking about. So these false prophets in the Galatian churches, as I said earlier, they were trying to stir the people up. They were trying to get the people to doubt who Paul was. And here's some things that they could have been saying, possibly. We don't know all what they were saying, but we know how Paul responded sometimes. I think they were trying to undermine his authority, undermine the true gospel in the minds of the people. Maybe they said things like this. Is Paul's gospel really the true gospel? Why would you believe him? He's not one of the 12. Hey, and he was a persecutor of the church. Have you heard what this man has done to the church? Why should you believe him of all people? Maybe he made all of this up. Maybe he got it secondhand. Maybe he just kind of devised this thing because he doesn't want to make it, you know, difficult on the Gentiles, on the new believers. So he invented this new gospel. And he's taken, you know, the works out, and he's restrained the traditions of the fathers. He's watered down the gospel, and he's made it just worthless. So you need to, don't listen to this man. Don't listen to Paul. Maybe that's some of the things they were saying about Paul. But Paul stood tall, did he not? Because he was a persuasive man of truth and authority. So in Galatians chapter 1, verse 11, we read, But I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. So Paul is saying, you know, I know what they're saying, but I am telling you, people in Galatia, this is not a man thing. This is not a religious thing. This is not some philosophy or some tradition. This is not a man thing. The gospel that I am telling you, the true gospel, it came to me through the revelation of Jesus Christ. Firsthand, personal, up close, I received it from the Lord Jesus Christ. So what about us? I mean, that should be our message too, shouldn't it? For those of us that have experienced the gospel and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. What about us? We should be saying to those we're sharing His love and truth that this isn't just another idea. This isn't just another religion. This isn't just another philosophy. This isn't something that just sounds nice or sounds good. This is the truth of the universe. This is a truth from God Almighty that He has expressed so beautifully through His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. This is a personal revelation like Paul. This is born out of intimacy and relationship with Jesus Christ. Because when that is what has taken place and is taking place in your life, then you become a man or a woman who is persuasive and a man or a woman who walks in truth and authority, and that is expressed to those around you. And their ears are open because what you say is echoed in your heart, in your passion, in your life. That's what He's called all of us to be. Galatians chapter 1, verse 13, it says, "For you have heard of my former conduct in Judaism, how I preached, how I persecuted," big difference, "how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure. And I even tried," Paul says, "I tried to destroy it. And I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous for the traditions of my fathers." And this is part of, I think, being a man or a woman of truth and authority. And that is that we're willing to say, in all honesty and humility, you know what? This is how I used to be. You think I got problems now? You should have saw me before, right? Look what God has done, and He's got a lot more to do, and He's working, and I'm trying to make myself available to His Word and Spirit. But you know what? He saved me from such pride, such selfishness, such hopelessness, such sin, such chaos. Praise God for that. So the things that Paul is echoing here in his testimony really should be the same thing. And those are the things that give us persuasive truth and authority before others, when we're honest about not only where we're at, but where we've been and where God is taking us to. The power of our testimony. So Paul says, this is who I was before my encounter with Christ. And so our message should be the same if we are to be people of truth and authority in the eyes of the culture and those around us. In verse 15, it says, "But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through His grace to reveal His Son in me, that I might preach Him according among the Gentiles, I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went to Arabia and returned again to Damascus." Paul just keeps driving this point home, doesn't he? This is not about man. There's no one that ordained me. There's not some denomination. There's not some group of elders. This is what I received with the intimacy from Jesus Christ. Christ exposed and revealed this to me. This is the true gospel. This is the real thing. And so he's just driving that home to them. And I think that is the same thing that we've got to share when we're sharing about Jesus Christ is, this isn't about Grandpa, this isn't about Dad's church, this isn't about some dusty book or some something else. This is about my intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. And He saved me from this, He's called me here, and He's taking me there. And we've got to share it, I think, just like Paul, if we're going to be these people of truth and authority. And indeed, he's, as Paul said in this statement, he's given our lives, right, purpose, passion, and power. Look at verse 18. It says, "Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter, and I remained there 15 days. But I saw none of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. Now concerning the things which I write to you, indeed, before God, I do not lie. Afterward, I went to the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and I was unknown by face to the churches of Judea, which were in Christ. But they were hearing only. He who formerly persecuted, but now preaches the faith which he once tried to destroy." What a statement. And he says, "They glorified in me." When they heard this was the man, and God has changed him, and now look what he's doing, they glorified God in me. They glorified God in me. Again, Paul, again, he's saying, this is not a man thing. This is from Christ. Ask the people. Ask them. Ask them how I used to be. Ask them how I was before I encountered the Lord Jesus Christ on that road. Ask them. They'll tell you. And I think we should shout the same thing. There's people that can tell you, right, how we were before we came to Christ. Some of us were pretty ugly. Some of us are not quite so ugly now. Some of us are still kind of ugly. But God's making us beautiful, isn't he? He's making us beautiful. What keeps us from living a life that's a life of persuasion that impacts and influences other people? What keeps us from living a life of truth and authority? And I hope you can understand the thought here with this idea of truth and authority. That if I have received the truth of God by His Word and His Spirit and the indwelling Christ, if I have received that Word and I'm walking in that Word, it gives me such authority before other people. It's so powerful, and it gives my testimony power as well for the glory of God and for ushering and leading people to the gospel of Jesus Christ. So what keeps us, you know, there's all kinds of reasons why we aren't more engaging of the culture, of our neighborhoods, of the people down our street and the people at work. There's all kinds of reasons, and I think we've got to come to terms with this and understand God has called us to be people of persuasion and truth and authority. And here's some reasons. You may have some others that you would add to this list, but some might say, well, no one's ever really told me that it's my responsibility. I mean, some of us, we don't see it as our responsibility to share the true gospel, to live out the true gospel, to engage other people with the gospel. We leave that to the elders or the pastor or the church or tracts on a windshield. But are we sitting down and engaging people face to face and talking, getting into their lives and sharing our hearts and minds with them? So very important. For some of us, maybe it's that we don't know a whole lot of unbelievers. You know, we've only got so much time, and we've got the circle of people, and a lot of them are believers, which is wonderful, but we are not engaging beyond that circle, engaging the unbelievers. So we've got to push out of our comfort zone. And maybe for some, the answer is it's because you're really not a believer. You go to church, you're religious, but you know what? You've never had that encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. You've never been changed. You've not received that incredible purpose and power in your life. Maybe that's the reason that you don't feel compelled. You've never really experienced what we're talking about. Maybe there are some undiscipled people along that same realm that just think there's a lot of different ways. They're very tolerant, and they see there's a lot of different ways out there, not realizing that, no, there is only one way, and it is our job to share that one way, the Lord Jesus Christ, by His shed blood. Maybe it is that the church has quenched your zeal. Maybe you've been hurt or frustrated or things have happened, and you've shirked back from this calling of being an engaging, influencing persuasive person of truth and authority. Maybe that's the reason. Maybe you think you don't know enough. But if you have been saved by the mercy and grace of Jesus Christ, let me tell you, you know enough. It's enough. Maybe it's that you're so caught up in some area of bondage that you've allowed yourself to drift into, that it has a hold on you, and that you need to be set free from that. Maybe there's other struggles of life that have you just bound up in some way. There's lots of reasons, I think, that we aren't the persuasive truth and authority believers that God has called us to be. So I don't think any of us are at that point where we should be or could be. So what is holding you back from being a person of truth and authority that impacts and influences the people at work? Is it fear? Is it a twisted sense of tolerance? What is it? What is it for you? Insecurities? What are some ways that we can become more intentional with the gospel? Well, certainly we can pray for unbelievers by name and consistently and looking for ways of being led of the Spirit to engage them, pursuing them in relationships, scheduling time with them, pouring ourselves out, ministering to them, loving them, not withdrawing from unbelieving family members, but lean into them, loving our neighbors. Do we know the names of the people on our street? Do we know who they are, what they're doing, what their hopes and dreams and goals are, where they've been and where they hope to go? Do we know those things? Or do we live in our little cocoon and we drive by their house and we wave and we've helped them load turf builder out of their trunks, but we have not sat down and shared with truth and authority the love and gospel of Jesus Christ? Do you appreciate your workplace as one of the greatest places to share the gospel? Are you intentional about harvesting relationships from the sphere of your children's activities, moms and dads? Maybe it is that you need to take up a new hobby, that you need to join some group. You need to do something because some of us are stuck in these little circles that we've been in and created and allowed ourselves to be held in. And God says, break out of that. I want you to be an influencer. I want you to live a life of persuasion, a life of truth and authority. And I know it's scary and I know you're comfortable, but that's what I'm calling you to do. Will you do it? And you look at the life of Paul and he was all about doing it, wasn't he? I mean, he went places and he spoke in ways that we can't hardly comprehend the way, how bold he was at times. But God's calling us all in some way, shape, or form to be that same type of man or same type of woman. And maybe there's all kinds of scary thoughts you have, questions that you might be asked. Paul was asked all kinds of questions. Some of the ones that you have been asked and might be asked go like this, and you may be thinking, if I start engaging people on that level, they're going to ask these questions, and I don't know how to answer these questions. Questions like, well, Christians have hurt me. The church has hurt me. God can't forgive me. How can a loving God send someone to hell, they might say? Or they might say, how could God allow this horrible disease or this war to happen? How can I know that the Bible is true? How can I know that I have enough faith to believe? I don't know that I even believe in God. How would we respond to that? I'm a good person already. I'm a part of another religion. Or they might say, I'm God. I'm my own God. I'm Jewish. I'm not a sinner. I'm not ready. I've always believed in God. I've done too many bad things. I've tried that. It didn't work. My beliefs are private. My friends will think I'm crazy if I accept Jesus Christ. The church, bunch of hypocrites, and they only want my money, right? Well, there's you've heard a lot of those things, haven't you? I think we expect that. But people of love and compassion and truth and authority find ways to be led of the Spirit and saturated with the Word that we can answer with such grace and compassion and truth that it begins to penetrate and impact and stir the heart and mind and soul of these people if we're willing to encounter them, if we're willing to engage them. So my challenge today for you is to realize that Paul faced some issues with his authority of the churches of Galatia. They were questioning this gospel, questioning whether or not he was a person of truth, whether he had the authority that he talked about. And the world's doing the same for us, really, isn't it? It's looking at us and say, are you people really about truth? Are you pretending? Are you hypocrites? Is that really the truth? How do you think you have authority to speak into my life? There's all these questions, some of the same questions that Paul faced, but I think still God's calling us to step out in faith and laying our fears and our insecurities to the side, allowing God to fill us with His Spirit, stand us rooted in His Word, fill us with the Lord Jesus Christ and the riches of Christ, and that with all those things, we would step out in faith and allow God to use us as people of truth and authority, that we would live lives that are persuasive. Are you willing to do that? It's not easy. It's scary. It takes time. It's messy. It's taxing. It's wearisome. But it's amazing. Sometimes it brings such incredible joy. You'll encounter things that'll blow your mind. You'll see the hurt and the brokenness of people that you don't even, you know, you can't even begin to understand. But when you offer the love and grace and truth of Jesus Christ to someone, and the Spirit has laid the work, the ground, and they receive it, well, there's nothing. There's nothing like being a part of that, being used by God for His glory and by saving someone, being a part of saving someone, being used by God to save someone for all eternity from their sins. That is amazing. God wants you to be a man, a woman, a youth of truth and authority. He is calling you to live a life that is persuasive, that has influence, that impacts those around you. And we all have a long ways to go, I realize that, but let's receive that today and say, yes, I believe that to be true, and I'm going to hear that call, and I'm going to stand up, and under the power of God, I'm going to walk forward out of my comfort zone, out of the boat. I'm going to live this life that I know God has called me to. And always, in the back of my mind and my heart, I've always felt this nudging from Him to do more, to be used by Him. And I pulled back. I've shirked back, yes, but I repent of that today. And I want to be used. And I know that He's designed me for His glory to be a man, to be a woman of truth and authority. Would you stand with me? We're just going to close with prayer today, and we'll dismiss you. Heavenly Father, thank You that You searched us out, that Your hand was upon us from even our mother's womb, that You've called us through the revelation of Jesus Christ. Lord, that You have opened our eyes, You've helped us to believe and embrace You. We praise Your name today. Thank You so much for saving us from all of our garbage. Thank You for saving us to a life of purpose, passion, and power for Your glory. Lord, thank You so much. But Lord, at least for me and probably others, we confess that we believe these things to be true, but we live far from them. We are not engaging our neighbors and our friends and our co-workers and our family in a way that the gospel and the truth and the grace of Christ is exhibited, that is clear. We have not been the people of truth and authority that we ought to be, that You've called us to be. Forgive us for that, Lord. Fill us with your Spirit. Help us to rise up and be the people you've called us to be. We pray this now in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you. Have a great Sabbath.